PFT Media. You are now listening to Cinema Crespediso.
It's a Chris Crespo radio show.
Yes!
Everybody likes him. Listen to his shit.
Plan on taking me in. Take a look inside.
Mr. Morton. If taking you in is an option. I would much prefer that to the alternative.
Welcome to Cinema Crespediso.
Yay! How's it going, everyone? Welcome to episode 292 of Cinema Crespediso. I'm your host, Chris Crespo, chilling in the Crespediso studio. Hit that button. I'll hit this button. I'll also hit this button. Button check, they all work. That's good to know. Also, I have a threat update. Your current threat level is black as of 8:52 a.m. Current threat level is black. Capitulation is easier in the long run. Ladies and gentlemen, Drewster Cogburn.
What up?
In the co-pilot seat. How's it doing, Chewbacca?
How's it doing? Isn't it? That's not the way it works.
What's the first time guest?
I'm so confused right now.
First time guest. We're excited to have this person here.
How's it doing?
You can find him on the Phillips File. He's also producing Moore's Mixed Company as well as Sunday Morning Coming Down. Just coming down from Sunday Morning Coming Down. Now picking it up here with us in the Crespity. Let's take that whole thing over. Please don't worry. Episode 2. Never mind. With us after screwing up that intro, it is the Pink Man himself. Josh Fowler is here. Yeah.
How's it doing, fellas?
How's it doing? Josh gets it, man.
It's so weird.
Cheers, sir. You get it. Cool as fuck is right, this guy. Thanks for the beers. What are you drinking?
Awesome.
Yes, thank you, sir. It's afternoon. That's fine. We can all... you're getting off work. Come on. And you're on vacation.
I'm on vacation. I got no work.
Life is good.
Life is good at the moment. Josh, thanks for joining us.
Yes, thank you for having me.
We appreciate it. Why Pink Man?
Okay.
Because I know the old radio thing, you show up, they give you a bad name, you're stuck with it.
Usually. I didn't get the worst name out there.
It's not bad.
I could have been Drunky the Bear.
Could have been Drunky the Bear. I always say that. Could have been a cowhead.
Yeah, could have been any number of things that you probably shouldn't say.
Yeah, really. Oh, yeah. The further back you get into the 90s, the worse the names get.
So everyone with like a shitty radio name has like a cool origin story. Mine is like the lamest, shortest one ever.
Oh yeah.
It was my first day as an intern, and then Jim looks across the table through the glass window at me and he goes, "You know who you look like?" And everyone's like, What? And he's like, "You look like that kid from Breaking Bad,
Pink Man." Ah, done. That's right.
I never have looked like that guy have looked like Aaron Paul in my life.
You look like if you take two and a half Aaron Pauls and squish them together and shit.
I was much thinner back then. Also.
Oh, were you? Okay. We also a giant. You're like 6'8" or something.
Close enough.
I'm pretty bad with heights. So it's like an optical illusion to me. It's weird.
Dang,
he has no good perception. He's got one bad eye.
I have one bad eye, but one extra good eye. And you would think it would balance out, but it doesn't. It actually makes it worse on one side. Yeah, I don't like that. That's why I don't like 3D movies.
That's fair.
It screws it all up for me.
Jaws 3D, huh?
No, that's an exception. I will watch Jaws 3D whenever. Filmed here in Orlando. Hey!
Yay, SeaWorld.
Yeah, good for SeaWorld. They don't kill any animals. They're pretty cool. They actually save animals, too. You know.
Yeah, you can give them respect for that.
You can. Yeah, they are an aquarium. Just because they keep giant
sea mammals in captivity.
In tiny tanks.
They're doing away with that.
We get to observe. Yeah, in like 4 or 5
years. Well, once the last one dies, they're like, no more, guys.
Okay, we're finally done.
Yeah, we're not going to use any new ones, but we're still going to keep using the ones we got.
Because it'd be cruel to release them to the wild.
No, that it would, because they would be destroyed immediately.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they would be. They wouldn't know what to do out there. Some, like, seals will come along and mug them. like, hey, where are these little guys? Oh, leave me alone. Like, hey, buddy. You're from here, are you, guy? Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Chris and Drew talk about hardcore mammals, marine life.
Why is the whale an Italian-American?
Because it's played by Joe Pesci.
And Chris is slightly racist.
No, because it's played by Joe Pesci. Yeah, I saw Shark Tale. Yeah, Scorsese. Shark says he. Martin Shark says he directed it, and it's a terrible film.
Hey, listen, my mom's going to play your whale mama.
Hey, listen. Get out of here. Go back to the tank that you came from. Like, why is this guy so... Yeah, why are they Italian? I don't know.
Like I said, racism, Chris. That's why.
Is it racism or regionalism? Because I'm doing a New York Italian thing.
Mm.
And then is it racism if it's against ethnic whites? This isn't the 1960s anymore.
I mean...
Ethnic whites are now just white.
No.
So is it still racist?
This is very confusing.
I would say yes,
especially like in the case of like the English and the Irish. These motherfuckers straight up hate each other, talking about atrocities.
Yeah, but it's like the New York, New Jersey feud. Like, you're both a bunch of dumb Americans, mm-hmm. you know? So I don't understand that entirely. It's like the Catholics and the Protestants. It's like it's like anyone versus anything else.
none of it makes sense.
Person versus person.
PvP. Unless it's red versus blue, right? Isn't that the way it breaks down?
Yeah, yeah.
Or pink versus blue also?
What?
Cats versus dogs?
Black versus white?
Yes, wait, never mind. That's racist.
I didn't mean it. I didn't mean it.
He said
Josh just signaled the race war.
Oh, sorry. Dog sorry, whistling.
There'll be plenty of that talk later.
There's a great Twitter account that's the dog that alerts you to the dog whistling.
So
whenever someone tweets something racist, it retweets it with like bark, bark, bark.
I saw that. Yeah, some guy was like, "Why should I be ashamed of being white?" And then it like tweeted back at him, "It's like bark, bark,
yeah,
like,
oh, bark, yeah, yeah,
damn,
yeah.
That's good."
Exactly. So you know, that's how you know. Twitter can be good for some good things, even though it's run by alt-right people. I don't know. You're not even on it.
I canceled.
Drew's officially off of Twitter, ladies and gentlemen. He did it.
Lucky.
Off of Twitter.
I did it.
Feeling congratulations.
Yeah. He feels no need whatsoever at any point to contribute to the social media landscape or to promote the show or anything. He's done nothing to
That's fair. Yeah. I appreciate choosing to be a Luddite.
You know, where would we be without the Amish?
Seriously.
They traffic the best cocaine all up and down the Eastern Seaboard.
And they make those really cool electric heaters that look like fireplaces.
What?
Those are nice.
I haven't seen those.
What?
They're allowed to use electric heaters?
Yes. They make them and they sell them to people.
But do they use them?
I don't know.
Probably not.
Probably not, right? They're not allowed to.
So how do they know they work?
Ah, how do they forge them?
I'm sure there's a non-Amish there to check it all.
Listen, if we have any Amish listeners, email us, cinemacrespedito@gmail.com. Let us know how you deal with making these items you're not allowed to use.
They'll get a letter like 2 years from now. They're like, oh, well, now that you ask.
That'd be awesome. Why is it taking 2 years? The post office still works.
Some guy on a horse delivers it to you.
I don't give him the actual address, though. Oh, man, I guess that's not going to work. Just, how passenger pigeon us.
Email address.
You know, passenger pigeons have been extinct since the early 1900s.
Have they?
Isn't that a bummer?
Total bullshit.
But real, we should bring them back, man. You know who's the one to bring them back? Mike Tyson.
Of course, well, he loves pigeons.
He's training them already. He's got them flying around and doing stuff.
Good for him.
You know. Anyway.
It's like the Tesla of boxers.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
That's all I've got to say about that. You're welcome for that hot take.
In that he's making electric hybrid pigeons that are they're flying around. And
death threat.
Mm-hmm.
Look at that pigeon flying around. It's good stuff. Right. Drewster Cogburn, do you have all the websites set up ready to go? You got some Rotten Tomatoes and all those things. You got the box office mojo. All right. Is the randomizer ready to go? All right. Let's go ahead and get started with the first segment. Shreya, pick it up. Go ahead. Shake it up.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome to
Pick of the
Week. Picks of the Week.
Pick
of the Week.
God.
Cinema Crespedito
streaming.
That's right, the Cinema Crespedito streaming. Pick it a week, and we can do this for you. What happens is, we got Amazon, Hulu, Netflix. Too many options, so little time. I got distracted by a text message, and we don't need to waste your time. There's not enough time in this world, not enough time in your life. Just sit down and watch something. We're gonna help you at least once. Sit down and watch this. Josh, what is this week's pick of the week?
This week's pick of the week is Lady Bird.
Ooh,
on Amazon Prime.
Nice, sweet little movie. A love letter to Sacramento, California. Shout out to our California listeners.
Shut up.
Did you guys see this one when it came out last year? It's kind of a popular movie.
So. It was the one about the young girl or whatever, and you would be misled into thinking it's about Lyndon Baines Johnson's wife.
You would be very misled.
Very misled.
Like, where's the racism? I don't see it. There's no one cursing, saying the N-words in this. No, it's not about that Lady Bird.
Damn it.
About what? She's high school. About her high school year. 17-year-old girl, played by Saoirse Ronan, Irish lass who... She's been playing high school girls for about a decade now.
I was about to say, yeah. And
good for her. Yeah.
She looks very young.
She still looks young. Hot commodity in Hollywood. Obviously, age is real. Mm-hmm. Right. Anyway, as we saw this, and it's, what's her name? Greta Gerwig, mm-hmm. writer, director of this. It's her first film as a director. She is like a indie film darling. She's done every other indie movie. She's the 2000s version of, what's the other one's name?
Man, that right. one lady.
That whole metaphor just fell apart right in the middle of my brain.
Parker, you guys
Parker
know.
Posey. Parker,
that one, yeah.
Parker Posey was in every indie film in the 90s. From the 2000s on, it was Greta Gerwig. She took over. But now she's directing movies. She was nominated for Best Director for this. It's a very well-made movie, very lovingly made, great little story. Very enjoyable, I thought. Right, Drew?
Mm-hmm.
We saw this at the Enzian?
Yeah, it's got your little French boy that you love so much.
That little French boy Timothy Chalamet.
Yes.
This guy is transcendent, I tell you. Wait till you see him.
Chris loves this little French boy.
Wait till you see this little French boy play some piano and jack off with a peach. It's fantastic.
Wait, what?
You heard him. You heard him.
It is a...
Sounds like it would burn your willy, maybe.
You would think so, but...
But I guess not.
All right, side tangent. I don't know if we talked about this on the show, but both the director and that kid, Timothy, they talked about, they revealed to each other that they tried it at home because they saw it in the screenplay, and they're like, how does this work? Does this work? Is this even possible? And so the actor went to, Timothy went to the director, Luca, and he was like, oh man, I tried it. It actually works. And Luca's like, yeah, I know. Yeah, I know. I tried it too. It works. That's why it's in the movie. Because it's
interesting.
Yeah, so there you go, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, now you know.
It's not just a bunch of bullshittery. The more you know, the more you can jack off with.
Do you like punch the pit out of the peach first? Assuming.
He did stick his thumb in it and like core it a little bit to make a little reservoir. And then he put it down on the, just watch the movie.
Do you eat it afterwards?
You don't. Don't need an army hammer.
Oh, well, that's like a whole new. Lone Ranger.
Biggest balls in Hollywood.
Because apparently they just flop out of those shorts.
Let me eat your dick, Peach.
So big they had to be CGI'd out of the movie.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's your bonus pick of the week.
That's the truth, by the way.
They had to CGI'd out because the shorts were too short. Him. They overestimated. The length of the shorts, underestimated the size of his balls. increase the CGI budget for a movie that's about burgeoning love. So, Call Me By Your Name is your side pick. I don't know if that's available anywhere. We probably probably not for streaming, maybe for rental. But this is on Amazon Prime, Lady Bird. And
all right, now it's playing on Stars.
If you have Stars, then that's your bonus pick, Call Me By Your Name. If you can do a double feature, Lady Bird, Call Me By Your Name, that's an interesting coming-of-age twofer, both coming at around the same age, 17, 18-year-old people, but different parts of the world, different time periods.
Different sexualities.
But
different fruits.
But then Lady Bird, is there any fruit in there? Any banana work? Some banana, a little bit of banana work in the movie we saw. That we'll talk about later.
Mm-hmm. Oh boy.
Oh boy, it was great. there we go. Lady Bird, good stuff. Definitely an Enzian type movie. Definitely a watch it at home type movie. Amazon Prime. The one who plays the mom, she was on the Roseanne. Lori Metcalf.
Yes,
she's fantastic.
She kills it in that movie.
Yeah, she slays
the mom.
She slays the mom. Slays. Yeah. That's good stuff.
Now I've got to see it.
Yeah, it's really good. Lady Bird's very, very good movie. Good stuff. All right, there we go, Drew. Let's talk about some monies. Stupid. That's right, dollar bills, y'all. Box office top five, Drew Sacagawa. Where we starting that top five?
Number 16.
What? That's not 16's not in 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 16, 5.
The number 16 movie this week is 8th Grade. Made $1.6 million for a total of 10.
Oh, okay.
Good for you, Bo Burnham.
Right? Yeah. How many screens are we talking
about? 1,084.
1,084. Still a million?
If I may. He not doing free screenings of that so teenagers were allowed to go see it since it was given the R rating?
They did do like a Wednesday. Yeah. One Wednesday they did free screenings and then theaters had to be like, yeah, we'll let anyone go in there.
It's real shit, so that's why I got that rated R rating. So.
It earns the R rating.
Yeah. R for real.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it really does. Some pretty adult things happen. Well, some pretty just... human things happen.
Human things that can happen to 12 and 13-year-olds.
Oh, God.
So it's a movie about, it's her last week of 8th grade.
Yes.
And then does it go into the summer, or is it?
I don't think it does.
It's just
because it ends with her, you know,
ending.
Yeah.
Ending. Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
She makes it to the end of eighth grade.
Oh, thank God.
It's about the last week. It's her last week of school. But yeah, she does the videos that are about like giving advice to be your best person, but then she struggles with that in real life.
Gucci.
And
so
weird. Gucci, yeah.
I don't know.
Versace.
Here's the thing, Chris. I am not an eighth grader.
You're not a kid
in the year 2018. You're not so connected. I don't. It was an interesting look into their lives. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, being a kid with social media, that would have. Oh man, I would have regretted that so much.
Yes, but growing up with social media back in the day would have been tough.
Oh god! So awesome.
So many N words.
Yeah. No.
Oh my god.
Oh the thing.
Oh my god.
Not from me. I'm saying you.
Oh, from this guy for sure.
The things.
If you could dredge up his
I said and saw, oh,
his 16-year-old Twitter id.
Mm-mm. Oh no, no, no! 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 No!
There go your dreams for running for local office.
No,
there.
Yeah, never, I don't have.
You could never run for Orange County Sheriff with that Twitter feed.
I wouldn't be able to do anything with anything. I would have been. Oh man, so awful! I was such a bad person.
So, yeah, eighth grade we saw it. It's a very, very distinct film in terms of like the voice of the film and what it's trying to say, and you know, definitely a product of when it's a movie that's written and directed by one person. In this case, like you said, Bo Burnham.
Mm-hmm.
It definitely feels like this person is really trying to speak to us about this time period that all of us shared in many ways.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Yeah, what'd you think, Drew?
I mean, like I said, it was a look into kids of the new millennium.
But did you like the look?
I mean, they're kids. I remember being a kid. Kids are pieces of shit, Chris.
Yeah, kids can be pieces of shit.
Watching a movie about pieces of shit people, I mean, it's just like
reminded you when you were a piece of shit. I was reminded of all the shitty things I did.
I mean, yeah, I was a piece of shit. I did some pretty shitty things.
That was a shitty thing to do.
I did a lot of side tangent. The one movie that is really going to make me relive a lot of that is that mid-90s movie that we saw the trailer for.
Mm.
That, I was like,
boy version of eighth grade.
Yeah, well, that is very much like growing up in the mid-90s. I did that. I grew up in the mid-90s. Like, that is going to be my little.
So it's the same thing going on social media. Have you seen that trailer?
Mid-90s. No, what is it?
Written and directed by Jonah Hill. His first movie.
Oh, cool.
And it's a little movie, kind of almost looks like maybe a less salacious version of Kids.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, maybe less salacious.
I think so. Like, because the guy who made Kids, Larry Clark, is a gross accused of pedophilia weirdo.
Yeah.
Not pedophilia, pederast.
He actually did it.
Post-adolescent, as opposed to prepubescent. I don't feel like we're getting like weird male gazy stuff
of
teenagers' torsos and things. But we are getting skater punk
kids,
gutter kids, hanging on the streets, sleeping in the parks.
Yeah.
I can do it.
I think so,
doing drugs.
So it's looking like it's following this one kid. He's maybe 13, and their parents are dead. I'm assuming
maybe
because then he's being raised by the older brother, who's like a dickhead. Because he himself is only 16 or 17,
exactly.
And looks like an interesting look into very specific experience. But then Universal, so yeah, it does look like I understand why they would play that right in front of eighth grade.
Yeah.
The trailer,
mm-hmm.
because they
very much so
they feel like in a similar vein. Although I feel like eighth grade will be ultimately more hopeful.
Positive. So here's the thing: eighth grade as a movie as a whole is definitely going to have a more positive vibe to it
as a whole,
as opposed to like. This mid-90s movie, I mean, if it's anything like what I went through in the mid-90s, some pretty fucking messed up shit happened, man.
Kids will be kids.
Assholes will be assholes.
Well, kids will be kids, only if it applies to the white kids. You know,
humans will be humans.
I get away with that.
Yeah.
That's true.
Humans will be humans.
Yeah, humans are...
That's what it should just call them. Yeah. Humans.
Yeah.
All movies should just be called humans.
Humans doing things.
Humans doing stuff. Humans doing human stuff.
Druko, we make stuff.
Yeah. Subsidiary Druko. So number 16 movie. I'm surprised it's so low in the box office list.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's only made $10 million total in 5 weeks.
It's still over 1,000 screens, though.
It's hard when it's called 8th grade and it's rated R. I mean, come on.
How do you appeal? How do you got adults like, I don't want to watch me about 8th grade.
Even though they should.
Yeah, relax, you fucking bunch of babies.
Yeah, nerds.
Yeah, a bunch of nerds. You want to watch your movies about your space samurai and your superheroes and robo suits, but a real movie about growing up in during an important part of our lives.
Why can't I get all those things combined?
It's about a girl. I don't want to see a movie about a girl.
Yeah, it's no Infinity War.
And not even just
Where's the Stones?
Where's Josh Brolin?
Yeah. Who's Josh Brolin? Is Josh Brolin the girl? What were you saying to you? I'm sorry.
I forgot.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Gone.
God,
derailed.
Sorry,
those,
bro.
Those dabs, man. They get you. All right, go ahead, Drew.
On number five this week.
Number five.
Black Klansman made $10.79 million.
Spike Lee joint.
Budget of 15.
$15 million made $10 million. A $10 million opening, putting it at number five. That's interesting. Some, depending on the weekend, that could get you closer to number three or number two. Yeah. Anyway. $10 million, Black Klansman opening weekend. Drew, what did you think of this movie?
Fucking amazing. It was really good.
No, I haven't seen it yet.
This is our spoiler-free review, although it is also a true life story.
Okay. Chris, when I left that theater, I felt ashamed for being white.
There you go. I don't think it's like these intense, but I get it.
Straight up, felt shame.
I was like...
I felt dirty afterwards.
I can understand how some people could watch a movie and be like, oh, this is... So I saw an interview, someyone was asking Topher Grace about the movie, because he plays David Duke. Mm-hmm. And when's the movie set? 60s, 70s?
Something like that,
I can't tell exactly. And so he plays David Duke, and they ask him about the movie, the uncoverments. Oh, someone asked him, has anyone ever come at you about maybe something you said that might have been racist or insensitive or something like that? And he didn't answer that part of the question. He's like, oh, wow, that's an interesting, good question. He's like, I'm not sure. No one's really talked to me about anything like that. But watching the movie, he hopes that it's going to be an uncomfortable movie for some people, and for some people, it's going to be really uncomfortable.
Yeah. You know?
And then I was like, ooh, all right.
But well, that's the point.
That is the point, mm-hmm. though. But that's only for certain people, though. I have found over the years that I enjoy talking about race quite a bit. I think people who listen to the show realize that.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy talking about race and racism and systemic racism and pointing this shit out.
Italian whales and all.
Yes, exactly. Yes. Like, hey, what are you doing around here, guy? What are you, coming from the pox? Hey, oh. I love Joe Pesci. He's going to be in a new Martin Scorsese movie that they're doing on Netflix where they're de-aging everyone.
Oh, yeah.
And it's going to look so weird. Man. I don't know if I'm going to
If only
like
they could do that in Goodfellas when they pretended he was 21 years old.
Yeah, right? They just fluffed up his hair.
Yeah,
dyed
it black. Put a lot of makeup on.
Hey, look at this. Ray, what kids again?
He's like, oh, well, children. Even Ray couldn't pull that off.
Oh, Jesus Christ. It was bad.
I love talking about racism and seeing movies like this the whole time. I was just like, yes.
Right.
My favorite scene may have been a 3.5-minute speech by Kwame. Coakley Star?
I don't remember.
Coakley Starmichael. What did Stokely Carmichael change his name to? Kwame Ture?
Something like that.
Right. Wow. Anyway.
Racist.
I know, so racist. I'm getting all my names mixed up. I can get Dermot Mulroney and Dylan McDermott right, but I can't get Kwame. He gives us great, because he's speaking to the Black Student Caucus of Colorado Springs College or whatever, Colorado Springs history of crazy racism documented, and he gives a very powerful speech about. I wonder if it was a real speech that they dug up.
I guarantee it was word for word what that man said.
Real words.
Yeah.
Played by what's his name, who played Dre in Straight Outta Compton.
Yes.
And he was also in Kong Skull Island.
Correct.
Okay.
I was like, the floor's coming down above us. And I mean, it's a nice looking place, but the bones that are old and 70s and warped. I was like, yes, I want to stand up and be like, yes, Black Power. Actually, when the movie ended, when it cut to black and it had an upside down flag, and it's black and white,
and
dude in the back of the ear goes, "Fuck Donald Trump! Fuck Donald Trump!"
That's awesome.
Straight up.
All right. And people were like clapping. Yeah. I was like, "All right, well, there we go."
He's inspired.
Yeah, it is. It's an inspiring movie in that way.
Very much so.
It's a great story, and everyone in it is great. Who's the actor who plays Ron Stallworth? Do you have? Can you pull up the IMDb on that one? Adam Driver plays the cop who plays the white face that infiltrates the KKK, but then he does it as a Jewish guy, which is like,
yeah, well, actually, exactly. Well, I mean, he doesn't,
but he never identified as Jewish.
Though. Exactly, he was just a white guy who
considered himself a white guy.
He was just a white guy, then realized
as the only Jewish guy in a white community, yeah, he's exactly. like, I'm just a white guy. Yeah, but white then guy. This whole thing awakens him to his Jewishness, his otherness, mm-hmm. in a very interesting way. Yeah,
L'chaim.
That's very cool. And then Ron Stallworth, played by.
I'm trying to get to
almost
it.
Almost got to it. I thought he had.
You know, IMDb, it's slow to scroll. You know.
No, we got bad internet here. It's my bad, bro. Shitty writer.
John David Washington.
John David Washington. Guy. This guy's really He's good. Really enjoyed him.
I like how he says white.
White. It's white. It's white race. God bless white America.
White. Oh, man.
Yeah.
God, dude, seriously, when he was on the phone talking to David Duke,
Those are great scenes. Dude,
great scenes because I was laughing along with him. He's covering the phone and everybody around is cracking up. Yeah. It's like, hey, all right, hang on. I got to go back.
It's like, yes, what's like, shh, shh, shh. Yeah. God, so it's like, yes, yes, so Mr. Great. Duke. I'm white just like you.
So great.
Yeah, and then some great scenes from there. This dude Felix is like a really good antagonist. The one guy in part of the clan who doesn't trust this Ron Star, yeah. And the media is like, are you undercover? What's going on? You're asking a lot of questions.
Oh man. Ooh. And the opening monologue with Alec Baldwin. What in God's name the fuck was that?
Oh yeah, the educational video he was putting together. That was a weird little
yeah. That was wacky as fuck.
About the violent Negro race.
Dr. Kennebrew Beauregard.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jeez, I need to see this.
Interesting, intense movie, man. But this, entertaining, though. Very entertaining.
Right. This movie needs to be seen by every human in America right now.
Just play it in high school.
And if you're offended by it, then so be it. Unfortunately, you're part of the problem.
Yeah, if you're offended by it, so that's the thing. If you're offended by it, then you're on the wrong side of the issue. And yeah, if it makes you uncomfortable watching the movie, then I don't know, maybe it's... Is that a matter of self-reflection? Why?
I mean, for me, it was definitely a self... I mean, I grew up in Sarasota, Florida.
South America in the 90s.
I grew up in the South in the 80s and 90s.
You're from the Carolinas?
Yep, North Carolina. The better one.
It has North in the name.
Yeah.
Only slightly.
I would go, yeah, okay, I'll give you that.
But yeah, no, I mean, what?
You got Charlotte.
Well, now we're the better one. Back in the day.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Then it split.
When I was growing up, that shit was like casual racism everywhere.
Still is, but I know what you mean. Even more overtly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. Sure. I felt that. Yeah, it's
what a shame.
It's a fucked up world. Fucked up world we live in. But we can make it better if we choose to. Mm-hmm. I think Spike Lee was trying to say something about race. I'm not sure.
I doubt it.
I don't know about that.
He seems to have an opinion.
It just seemed like straight up historical documentary.
Yo, there's a part where, not spoiler, it's not a spoiler, it's just a stylistic choice. He shows a cross-burning Klan rally, and then he cuts to... the Tiki Torch March, and then the Charlottesville rally, and then the car driving through and hitting people and killing that lady.
And then Donald Trump talking about
it. Donald Trump talking about problems on both sides, and then shows an image of like in memory of the girl who died. Because he like has been in touch with the mother of that girl, and they've been speaking a lot, and all that stuff at the end was included because she was like, yes, you can do this and have this in the movie. So
good people.
Definitely right time type of thing. Jordan, good people on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
Jordan, they're not on the
Jordan Peele using his Get Out clout.
Yes, to help get this made.
That Get Out clout. He picked up the rights to the book, hit up Spike Lee. He's like, awesome. I think you should direct this. Spike Lee said yes, and now we got this movie. So thank you, Mr. Peele.
Oh, and that's why.
Thank you, Mr. Lee.
That's why that guy looks so weird.
Which guy?
Which? Adam Driver's other white buddy.
Yeah.
It's Michael Buscemi.
He's a Buscemi. I was like, that guy looks like Steve Buscemi, but not Buscemi. So ugly.
He's brother. A Buscemi.
Wow.
Wow.
He's a Buscemi. Yes. Chris, you're right. You are right.
Oh, my mind is blown.
You were right. Good job.
I was like, that's a normal looking Steve Buscemi.
It's because it's his brother.
And he even sounds like him, too.
Yeah.
He's good. I liked him.
Yeah, no, exactly. So
how come he hasn't been in more stuff?
He has.
But not popular stuff, though. Steve's getting all the good stuff. He's got to be looking at his brother Steve like, how come
you? He was
like,
I'm the better looking one. I have a symmetrical face.
I mean, he was He's been in a bunch of Adam Sandler movies, probably in the background.
Better than being Rob Schneider still.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
Oh, Rob Schneider. Oof, boy.
Poor guy.
That
poor
former. He flirted with Buddhism for a minute. Didn't take. Drewster Cogburn.
Chris.
That was our number five.
Yes.
People Should See Black Klansman.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Very well reviewed film. Mm-hmm. Especially here.
97%.
97% around Tomatoes. Damn. About 100% here.
Black Klansman uses history to offer bitingly trenchant commentary on current events.
Yes.
And brings out some of Spike Lee's hardest hitting work in decades along the way.
Yes.
Average rating of 8.2.
8.2? Yeah, there we go. Out of how many reviews? Like 100, 150?
183.
Whoa! So pretty definitive. There we go. Lots of critics saying, see this movie, you racist people.
Well, yeah, I mean...
That's the thing. The racist people need to see it the most, but then what are they arguing? Yeah. Like,
they
I'm under attack. Hashtag white genocide.
Yeah, they are. They're going to be like, man, I really need to talk to David Duke.
David Duke, man.
He needs my support.
The white race is under attack. They're calling for the killing of the police in this.
Straight white male is a new N-word.
Yeah. Exactly. I'm not allowed to be a straight white male. I'm not allowed. The only group of people you're allowed to attack is white men. You attacking me? I'm a white man fish. I'm trying to combine all the bits into one bit. Yeah, he's like, oh, I'm under attack here. These whales come out of the tanks. Now that's more of a whiny Jew than Italian guy. I don't know what happened there.
You went Woody Allen.
Yeah, that's not Woody Allen.
Well, it's
never
whole,
go
it's,
Woody
it's
Allen.
It's the whole New York thing. You went New York Italian to New York Jew. It's all New York.
Oh, that cesspool.
Yeah. Oh, but the food is so
delicious.
Yeah, I love New York.
And there's some really good people up there, too.
Yeah, nice people.
There's a couple.
Yeah, some bad omens.
They just moved to
Stuyvesant.
Have you seen those wood floors?
Make that four. Yes, I have.
Man.
I can't wait to go over there and take off my shoes and slide over my socks.
That's what happens when you marry, right?
Good job, Bill.
You go from Williamsburg Bushwick. to wood floors and Bed-Stuy.
They had wood floors in Bushwick.
Really?
Old, shitty wood floors.
Like splintery.
Yeah. No, those were like old warehouse converted into expensive apartments wood floors. These are more...
No, actually, two one-bedroom apartments turned into one two-bedroom apartment.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's like,
yeah, close enough.
Yeah. Hey, Orlando's going that way.
The kitchen used to be the old bathroom.
I'm going to move the studio I'm going to continue with our bathroom idea and move the studio into the bathroom. Then I'm going to convert this into a two-bedroom.
Yeah. One bedroom is a closet.
One bedroom gets the closet. The other bedroom gets the door. So that way I can still.
Nice. I get it.
And then the two people can negotiate how this bedroom can exit through that door. Yeah. But then that person can use this closet. Up to them. I don't know. It's up to them. I don't know how they're going to work it
out. Number four this week.
But $1,000 per room.
Orlando's getting that way.
That's reasonable.
Orlando's getting that way, yeah. And then the glass door will be open and there'll be a bucket out there for showers and shitting. Number three?
Number four.
Slenderman.
$11.325 million.
Damn.
On a budget of 10.
Damn. Is it on more screens than Black Klansman?
Twice as many.
Okay.
And the character is white, so...
Yes, racism.
Mm-hmm.
Is he white?
It's a monster.
Yeah. I think he's white. He is, yeah. He looks white.
He's like the absence of color, so he's not as white as it gets. He's truly white. Slenderman is so weird how, it's a... internet meme written for the creepypasta website
that turned into a real fucking thing.
It turned into a real urban legend thing. It's so
ridiculous.
Well, no, so much so as to people have
influenced
murdered
people.
Girl stabbed her friend.
Mentally ill, etc., etc. I'm curious as to the Rotten Tomato thing in this one and where they would even advertise this type of movie. Is it PG-13?
15%.
Oh, that's rough.
Average rating 3.6 out of 10. Only 27 reviews, though.
Okay.
No consensus.
Small,
yet.
So it's a small sample size, but apparently. Hey,
yeah, that's not good.
Who had any
it's gonna be awful.
Thought that I was going to be a good movie anyway? It's a horror film coming out in August. You know, it's whatever. It's whatever.
Number three this week.
Number three.
Disney's Christopher Robin made $12.43 million, total 50.
Oh, wow. What's the budget?
Unlisted.
Probably a lot.
Because of the CG?
Yeah, and then Ewan McGregor.
50 or 60, probably. Maybe a $60 million budget. Because the only CG, I think, are the toys.
Yeah.
Those characters. Otherwise, it's just
Pooh
all
and
real
clan.
Locations. Yeah.
And
the Pooh clan.
Well, and maybe parts of...
The Pooh Tang clan?
Of... maybe parts of when he goes into their world. That's probably some of that CG, probably,
oh,
too.
Like Space Jam.
Maybe, yeah. It'd be awesome if the whole thing was animated.
Yeah, right?
But it's not. I saw the trailer.
What a waste.
It is a waste of a great idea. That's why they should let us make the movies, because we know what we're doing. Mm-hmm. Some people have seen this for our Crespo Hundo and seem to like it. Some people say it's a sad movie. But yeah. I think it depends on your own experience. If you're an older person who has given up on life, then this movie should...
Yeah, probably sad.
Mm. Yeah, probably sad. Okay, so it's going to be sad.
If you're walking around like an Eeyore, then yeah, you're going to identify with the sadness of the film. Right, Drew?
Number two this week.
Are you an Eeyore?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Or are you a Pooh? You're an Eeyore?
No, I'm an Eeyore, 100%.
Isn't there a more surly... Eeyore's just sad. Isn't there a more surly character in that
no,
world?
No, really, no. Well,
like Piglet with a hangover?
No. No, no, oh, Piglet. No, no. Or there's like no Eeyore with a meth problem or anything like that. And he's sad and angry.
Methy Eeyore.
Okay. Eeyore's the closest you get. You know. I'm nowhere near that lethargic, though.
I mean, that's Tigger is on speed, right?
He is hopping. No,
he is... So the way it works, basically every single one of these characters is like a different sort of like ethos or pathos. You know, Eeyore is definitely depression. Mm-hmm. Tigger is the manic state. Mm-hmm. Piglet is all anxiety. Mm-hmm. It's almost like what was that movie that Pixar did with the feelings
inside
on the inside?
Inside Out.
It's almost Pooh is basically
points.
Winnie the Pooh is basically you know, the origination of that.
That makes sense. Yeah, it's a lot like how Peanuts, all the Charlie Brown stuff was written as a way for Charles Schulz to, like, deal with his life stuff. So Charlie Brown is him, which is why he's such a sad
stuff. Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, yep. Lucy, who's always... Lucy's the sister?
Sally's the sister.
So, which is his real life sister.
Lucy's the
which
one who's always fucking with him. She's very supportive.
Lucy is his wife, which is why she's always fucking with him and, like, pulling the football out and treating him like shit.
She sounds like a bitch.
Exactly. He did not get along well with his wife, apparently. Like, everyone in these throughout the series was, like, based on people around him, and it was a way for him to deal with his depression. So if you read the Peanuts characters and you see how much it does deal with sadness and melancholy and stuff like that, like, oh, Charles Schulz was a depressed, sad person.
Charlie Brown's one of the saddest sacks in the world.
He's one of the saddest sacks in the world, and that's how Charles Schulz saw himself.
But he's got a dog.
Yes, he does.
Thank God for that dog, man. I know. That's the best beagle ever.
Number two this week.
Number two.
Mission: Impossible - Fallout.
Nice.
$20 million, total of 161.
Hey, not bad. 161. One of the more successful films in Tom Cruise's career. Mm-hmm. Surprisingly, I don't think he has a movie worldwide that has made more than maybe $600 million. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have like any $800 million, billion-dollar movies. You would think he would, considering he's one of the biggest movie stars ever, but he doesn't even have a movie that's opened more than $65 million in an opening weekend.
Loser.
I know. What a
suck it, nerd.
Why do we like this guy so much if he can't? Anyway.
Oh, he lives in Clearwater
now. Because he's short.
He's short. It's shortism. Mm. Is what it is. But he can't be too tall either. Because of tightism. You gotta be that perfect range between 5'6 and 5'11. That's the height you wanna be. If you're 5'11, then you're a giant. You know Leo DiCaprio's like 6'1? They gotta shoot him to make him short.
Really?
Yeah.
I always thought he was shorter.
He seems shorter, right? They shoot him to look shorter. He's a big dude.
What a plot twist.
But then you got guys like Paul Rudd, who's he's 4'11", you know? So then
my whole world's crumbling.
You know how Lord of the Rings, they did forced perspective? He's like standing closer to the camera. They have an engineer, Lily, standing the other side of the room.
I don't like this.
It's amazing what Peter Jackson did to the film industry. Mission: Impossible - Fallout is a fantastic film. We reviewed it last week. Actually, we talked about it 2 weeks in a row because it's been out for 3 weeks now. Are you a fan of the Mission Impossible movies? Have you seen any of them?
Yeah, I mean, they started making them, what, like
94. Almost
over 20 years ago. Yeah. He's been in this franchise.
No.
I missed a bunch of them, and then I saw the one that's been running randomly on like FX for a while.
I think they've been showing Ghost Protocol a lot.
I think
is that
that's the one.
Part of it's in Russia, and he's on the building.
There, he's always on a building.
He is always. Yeah, I mean, that's actually very true. He's on a building in this one.
This whole franchise reminds me of the Fast and Furious, where it started off as like this small little genre film and then exploded into this action franchise.
Yeah, relatively small. It's really funny. When you go back, there's still that big scene on the Chunnel train and all that, but it is a relatively smaller film, the first Mission Impossible.
Not bad, though.
It's great.
Man, I love it. I love the first
one. John Voight's awesome.
Yeah, I love the first one. The second one, I want to rewatch
it. It's very much like a spy movie.
The first one is like a spy movie, and then as they go along, to get much more action-y, especially when got John Woo, J.J. Abrams, these guys, like, they want to do action. And this one is maybe the best action. Like, just the best shot, the choreography and Tom is crazy, does it all the stunt work, crazy the bike asshole. Riding. The
skydiving.
The skydive. See, this ridiculous scene.
He jumped, like, 130-something times for that movie.
They had to learn how to do that properly. Yeah. And then the scene that they actually shot, they did that, like, 5 times the way they did it. And it's, like, a tense scene with a lot of... Because not only is it involving 2 actors, but then you also have your professional camera skydiver guy. So he's got to, like... get with the choreography too of what they're doing.
What
so
a pain.
So you're watching this scene. I found for myself, I'm watching this scene. And it happens early on in the film. It's like the first big, real sequence in the movie. Mm-hmm. Within the first 20 minutes. And so you know, like, he's not gonna splat at the end and, oh, the rest of the movie is about Ethan Hunt's funeral arrangements and everyone getting together. That's not gonna happen. You know their characters are gonna make it out of the scene fine. But they have this, like, tense... one take skydiving action sequence, and I found myself, like, white knuckling a little bit in the chair. I was like, oh shit, this is tense. And then it's just like a testament to how well made the movie is. You know, Tom Cruise is alive. He was just on David Letterman. He was just on Steve Colbert last night, being like, yo, go see my movie. You know he's alive, but you're watching the movie. Like, oh my God, this guy's going to die.
He's going to splat there on the ground.
This guy's going to fall off this helicopter and die. That scene where he's just like climbing the rope and then he tries to transfer over to the helicopter and he's like, oh, that's brave.
It's hardcore.
Whoa, it's crazy. Anyway, I think it's a lot of fun. And I drew you like it.
Yeah, I enjoyed the hell out of it.
So go see it. There we go.
It's a great way to stay in shape.
Number one. That's my who talks like that? Jay Leno. It's my Jay Leno.
Number one this week.
There it is. We're talking about the number one movie.
The Meg.
There it is.
We can gross $44.5 million.
$44.5 million. Oh God, yeah, America, you disappoint me.
On a budget of 130.
Pull up that Rotten Tomato score.
49%. Average rating 5.5 out of 10.
Right down the middle.
156 reviews.
So it's better than Slenderman.
It's better than Slenderman. But I was actually hoping for so bad it's good, but
The Meg sets audiences up for a good old fashioned B movie creature feature, but lacks the genre thrills or the cheesy bite to make it worth diving in. Aww. Get it? See what they did?
I get it.
See what they did?
The shark thing.
Bites, dives.
Yeah.
PG-13, you know they were not going to be able to make a good killer shark movie.
Even
if it's a massive killer shark that could eat people in one bite. Yeah, it's got to be. Even Jaws. I mean, Jaws came out pre like PG-13 and all this stuff. So it is a PG movie. But so even Jaws at PG has like lots of blood. When the kids get bit, it's like a geyser of blood in the water. You're like, oh my God, that's a lot of red. So it's a bummer when something like this comes out, it's PG-13. And then the reviews, I really wanted to be like, so bad it's entertaining, but it's instead it's just damn like,
it sets you up and then it doesn't deliver. I wanted to see B-movie gold.
Yes, I want to see what Sharknado wishes it was. Exactly. Or something like that. You know, like real high
suck
praise
it,
on a
Tara Reid.
Yeah, exactly. We don't need Ian Ziering. We got Jason Priestley in a secret role as the shark. You know that, Drew?
Didn't know that.
He did a motion capture for the shark.
I knew it.
Pretty awful.
You can tell it was Jason. The shark has a lisp.
A slight one.
Priestley doesn't have a lisp. I was trying to make a joke about
you're
the poor guy.
You're trying to be
guy.
A dick.
I was just being a dick for the guy for no reason. It's do kids even know who Jason Priestley is?
Probably not.
No,
they don't. It's a shame. 90210 is a classic. Drew Sikogra.
Was it?
No. So that's it for the top 5.
Just a bunch of white people, Chris. Tell it was.
Yeah, God bless.
Bunch of rich white people in California.
God bless white America. Yep. So that's it for your top 5?
Yep.
All right. We got new movies coming out on DVD. Bad Samaritan is that one with the dude who was a Doctor Who, but also on Jessica Jones, The Kilgrave.
Oh, yeah.
And so I swear this was almost a movie, too, like a different version of a movie. Someone breaks into a house to rob shit. Finds a woman held like captive in a room, leaves her there, goes and calls the cops like anonymously to like, hey, there's a woman there. They go, this is on the trailer, they go find out that there's no woman there. What are you talking about?
Oh God.
The guy, it's the Kilgrave dude, the English fella, David Tennant, I think his name is. He's the one who's
in Harry Potter.
Harry Potter. Is he in Harry Potter?
Yeah, he played Filch's son. No, not Filch. Whatever. Cornelius Fudge, that guy.
You're not a true Harry Potter nerd.
How dare
turn
you?
Turn in your Harry Potter card at the door. I can't verify a single Harry Potter thing.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry to derail that.
No, you could throw out any Harry Potter facts. I'm like, oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, exactly. Expecto Patronum.
There you go. Understood.
You could say anything. I'm just like, yes.
I'll be like, yes, that makes perfect sense to me.
I have no idea what you're talking
about. Yeah, then when the Air Force shows up, wild.
Uh-huh.
Man, that's my that's my favorite scene.
Pretty good, right?
I've seen them all. Is that the last movie? I've seen that one.
Yeah.
The
David Tennant,
then he is like, oh shit, this dude called the cops on me because he knows. So then he makes life miserable for this guy, the bad Samaritan. So.
Cool.
Spooky.
So if people can see that, or if they want, they can see that Avengers Infinity War that comes out too.
Yeah.
Has anyone seen it?
I haven't seen it.
You haven't seen it?
No.
There we go. So that's all there we go. Spoiler alert. People die in that one. But
what?
Double spoiler alert, they're going to come back in the next one.
Because they all have sequels coming out to their movies.
No, I don't like it.
A bunch of them have sequels, and it's fine.
It. It's cool.
That's another one where just like, so at the end of BlacKkKlansman, it made me think of that. At the end of BlacKkKlansman, someone goes, fuck you, Donald Trump. At the end of Avengers Infinity War, at the end of that, someone went, Drew said, someone said, you asshole. At the end of
fuck you, Thanos.
Yeah, exactly.
It's essentially the same thing.
Yeah, pretty same thing.
That's fun.
It was weird how Avengers Infinity War ended with that montage of the Klan rally and then the Charlottesville thing. Yeah. They did that too. I think that's where Spike Lee got it from. Mm. But anyway, yeah, fuck you, Thanos.
You know, that's happening again right now.
Oh, yeah, the Unite the Right rally. Yeah. On the anniversary of.
Yeah, it's been a year, right?
Yeah.
It's been a year, and they're getting back together because. This is America, and it's an Infinity War.
It really is.
What's the joke? It's almost as if this country's been built on an ancient Indian burial ground.
Yeah.
That's what it's like. Yeah, weird.
Odd, isn't it?
Very strange. Also, the ghost of dinosaurs as well. Don't forget that. Don't forget the dino.
Those velociraptor ghosts are brutal.
They're angry. they missed their shot. What's coming out in theaters?
Alpha,
the story of a cave boy
and wolf dog.
It's one for the teens.
Sounds really cool.
It's one for the kids.
Cool.
Yeah, not at all. Also coming out.
You sounded, yeah, for sure.
Crazy Rich Asians.
Yes, that's supposed to be probably maybe the number one movie of the weekend. We'll see. Mm.
I don't know.
Maybe the number two.
It all depends on how much Mark Wahlberg and horrific violence can pull.
So that's the thing. All right, so the other movie is Mile 22.
But it's right, they're all brown people. That he kills.
It's a Mark Wahlberg movie.
Mac.
They kill a lot of brown people.
Go chowder.
We gotta go kill all these brown people. Okay, so you about the honeybees and we gotta kill about the brown people? So the marketing, I feel like the marketing for Mile 22 hasn't been that extensive. Meanwhile, Crazy Rich Asians...
everywhere.
There's like a big internet buzz behind this one, especially shock for like Asian people. Chinese and Japanese really... Mm. Especially I think Chinese people are really into this one. Constance Yu is in it, and can you rat off some of the actors?
Constance Wu.
Oh, excuse me.
Wow, get it together.
Man, racist. Where's that racism, dog?
Michelle Yeoh,
yeah, for sure.
Henry Golding.
She's a legend.
And Gemma Chan. I don't know if it's a hard G or a soft G.
Fair enough. Could be a silent G.
That's all I got.
She'd be Emma.
Yeah, she could be. Who knows? I don't know.
We don't know. We've never met her. She doesn't come to any of my cocktail parties. Exactly. Even though I keep inviting her over.
Wait, you have cocktail parties?
Oh, for shit. No, you blew it. Anything else come out? Oh, yeah. So it's Model 22, Crazy Rich Asians. Yeah, there you go. Okay, Drew Sicogran, give us some good info.
You must be Doc Holliday.
That's the rumor.
Dr. Strangelove, do we have anything like that in the works?
They call me Dr. Manhattan.
And Bridget Fonda.
Do doctors know more about sex?
Doc Hollywood.
That's right, here he is with your prescription for life is Dr. Drew. Dr. Drew, take it away.
Fuck you, I'm on vacation. Cogburn out.
That's right! No advice for you. I'll just
write that. That was good. I feel good.
Yeah.
Cleansed.
Hey, you know what? Your HMO may not cover Dr. Drew, but it's worth to come out of pocket for the prescriptions
that he
gives. All right, guys, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back with the Billy D set of the movies. We got an email from Mr. Hoity Toity Bed-Stuy over there. We got a couple of Vox Populi emails from the people. And then maybe a movie news story or two. And then, of course,
perchance.
And then, of course, Dr. Drew himself versus the world. Got a little bit of trivia, Josh.
Infinity War.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing.
Yes, the Infinity War.
You guys will engage in a movie trivia Infinity War to determine who will lead the Pootang Clan into where do they live?
Wonderland? Whale Italy.
Into Whale Italy.
There we go.
Tie it all together. Hey, who are these Pootangs? Baba the Beat. I'm a racist. Against ethnic whites. It's just a strange thing. I find it weird. That's it's a weird thing how those racist people were racist against them for the longest time, and then now you're cool.
I don't know. Sea change. What happens?
We're running out of whites. We need more.
Well, no,
because you guys are cool now.
No, you guys are cool. When the next round of ethnic whites came in, it's like, you Irish people are cool because fuck those Italians. Okay. Oh, the Italians are cool because fuck those Russians. Oh, the Russians are cool because fuck those Albanians. The Albanians are cool because
Polish, etc.
Now the Greeks
met those fiery Mediterraneans,
and then we went from the Greeks and the Puerto Ricans and blah, blah, blah. And now all of them are cool.
You're lumping Greeks in with Puerto Ricans?
Well, no, but now all of them are cool.
I like tzatziki sauce and all, but...
Because we all hate the Middle Eastern people.
Oh, yeah.
They're the new...
Take that, Middle East.
They're the new...
Yeah, the new Browns.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Welcome to the new Browns. That's the name. That's Tyler Perry's producing my new TBS sitcom. Welcome to the new Browns.
Yeah. Where, is it NU with the umlaut?
Yes, with the umlaut. And me, my family, my Puerto Rican German family, because now with the umlaut, I have to throw it in now. We've taken a job and we're moving to Lebanon, where we're going to be living there, assimilating. But it's got to be...
Hello.
Yeah, it's going to be weird. Hijinks and stuff.
I like it.
All right, guys, we're going to take a break. I'm going to need another one of these beers, and then we're going to be back with the second half of the show. Sure, you can smoke a cigarette?
Yes.
Gross!
A little something to this month's sales contest. As you all know, first prize is a Cadillac Eldorado. Anybody want to see second prize? Second prize, a set of steak knives. Third prize is you're fired. You get the picture? You laughing now? You got leads. Mitch and Murray paid good money. Get their names to sell them. You can't close the leads you're given. You can't close shit. You are shit. Hit the bricks, pal, and beat it, because you are going out.
The leads are weak.
The leads are weak. Fucking leads are weak. You're weak. I've been in this business 15 years.
What's your name?
Fuck you. That's my name. You know why, mister? Because you drove a Hyundai to get here tonight. I drove an $80,000 BMW. That's my name.
Welcome to the Crespo
Show.
What up, everyone? Welcome to episode 292 of Sigma Crespo. So I'm your host, Monty Jacobson. Chris Crespo has stepped out for the time being. How's it going, Jesse Gunn?
Muddy Jacobson.
Muddy Jacobson the fourth, actually. Get it right, Muddy. Sonny Jacobson the fourth. I am a fellow long line of Jacobson. You're from Ottawa, Canada.
Bullshit, you sound like you're from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. You sound like
last
some
year.
Sort of...
We just moved there last year. Well, brand new to the Baton Rouge, don't you know, show my...
You sound like some sort of... undead, super racist, old white plantation owner.
I died two years ago in Canada. Moved down to Baton Rouge.
Hallelujah,
Buddy Jacobson the fourth is here to teach you about the blues.
What does an old white demon know about the blues, Chris? Please, tell me. Enlighten me.
I'll tell you about the hells are shit in Canada.
Oh, what, that socialist nightmare that is Canada, where weed is legal and everyone has free healthcare?
Losers.
God, it sounds awful!
If it wasn't so cold.
Dude, no, exactly.
If it wasn't so cold.
Chris,
in
you
Canada,
are right.
I'd be beating down the doors. Trudeau, let me in!
Please.
No, I got it. I'm now down to the point where I'm stuck in
Florida.
Central Florida, or, you know, I am stuck. I'll tell you where I'm stuck in Central Florida. You get further south where it's warmer longer, then you're dealing with Burmese pythons.
Yes, true. Straight up.
Yeah.
100%.
Like, that is a thing you actually have to keep an eye out for, especially if you have small pets.
Yes.
Crazy.
So, but they don't get up this high because it gets cold enough that it keeps them
further down. The winters are so cold when it freezes, they die.
Winter. It's like it works as a barrier, but then we're not so high up north that we get like the ice storms and stuff like you get in Georgia maybe every now and then in Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. So I'm stuck in Central Florida, swaths of Texas, or the Southwest, the desert, where I'm stuck with rattlesnakes and stuff, and and that high heat.
You carry a revolver.
You're stuck here, Chris.
Chris, I'm anti-gun though, so I can't.
Chris, you're stuck here.
I'm anti-gun, but I'm pro snake murder, so it's a weird place. Yeah, it's a weird carry place to be. So I think I'm stuck here. Yeah, Drew was right. I'm stuck in Central Florida. Yeah.
Oh, well,
that's fine. I'll be here when they break ground on future downtown Tamplando.
Yes,
looking forward to the megalopolis that will be the foundations of Mega City 1 that you know will eventually bring us all down. Yeah, it's gonna be great.
I mean, okay. I mean, as long as you know we get a couple dreads.
A couple dreads.
we're gonna need more than one, Chris.
We're gonna need more. We're gonna end up with a Judge Death going around.
I'm cool with that too.
All right, you're first on a chopping block, sir.
I'm okay with that.
Beware.
As long as like half of the population is behind me.
Behind it, O'Brien.
You're a martyr.
Plugs time, guys. People can find the show on Twitter at Crespediso, on Instagram at Cinema Crespediso, and join our Facebook group, Cinema Crespediso. Drewster Cogburn is no longer on Twitter.
No, I'm not.
R.I.P.
To all the people that have been tweeting him all week, I think it's just really Ron.
Sorry, Ron, not there anymore, bud.
But how long does it take for Antihero 419 to become available as a Twitter handle?
I don't know. Someone can pick it up and be me online if they want to.
Oh my god,
I'll take it.
There we go.
It could happen.
I'm gonna say so much racist.
Yes. And then people won't know the difference. It'll be weird.
They won't. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be weird.
Like, this is right.
So where can people find you? Right. Where can people find you?
I mean, I'm on Instagram and Facebook.
Antihero419 on Instagram.
Correct.
So now you're only...
And Facebook, too.
So now you're only using Facebook products.
If you go to facebook.com/antihero419, my thing pops up.
Oh, your thing pops up. There you go. With your real name. Your non-Cogburnian name.
Oh, God.
I mean, my AKA's on there, too, though.
But so people know my that, alias. Too. So people can then friend request you, and then you can deny it.
Yeah.
Do you deny it, or do you let it sit there in friend request purgatory?
I don't know. I deny. I straight up deny.
Wow.
I go with purgatory.
You go with purgatory? Yeah, I usually go with purgatory.
Because I don't know who you are.
Yeah.
Click.
Denied.
But then if it's... I have this problem where I forget that I meet people a lot of the time. And if it's someone that I met one night and they're friend requesting me, I need a little bit of time to process whether I should delete them or not.
Who is this? Is this... What show is this affiliated through? Was so this a Phillips things. File event?
Was I bartending? Was I drunk?
That's right. You bartend sometimes.
Oh, God. There's too much.
He's done a couple of stand-up gigs, right?
Yeah.
People find Drew online and bug him.
Please don't.
Josh, the pink Chris. Man. Double pink.
Yes.
Where can people find you online?
At Josh_Pinkman on Twitter and Instagram.
There you go.
That links to all pretty much everything else I do.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess if you want to seek out my normal Facebook, you can, but I'm not telling you my real last name.
But it's pretty easy to find, though, if you just do a little bit of
I'm in the photo, so.
He's in the photo. I think, actually, if you check, does it say Josh Pinkman as the author of Casual Shadows on Spotify?
I think it actually says my full actual name.
And there we go.
So people,
damn it.
follow and subscribe to Casual Shadows on Spotify.
Oh, yeah, that'd be nice.
Yeah, that's the easiest way.
You know you just used your real name, Chris.
Yeah. You just used your real name. Did you use your real name?
Black Klansman, Ron Stallworth.
Yeah, that was really funny. Yeah, yeah, such a great idea, except for that. Yeah, Oh, Ron. So your real name on there, right?
Follow me on pretty much follow me on anything but iHeart because I hate that app. And,
you know what? iHeart's not the best app.
I'm a defector.
But the app that they use over there on the Bone 102.5 out there in Tampa, the Bone app.
TPA.
It is like the worst hunk of garbage
really?
I have ever seen.
It's even worse.
It is. Oh,
so I mean, it's like PG-13 Venom.
Little insider.
Yeah.
Little insider knowledge. Radio stations don't like to spend money on shit.
No, they do not.
Really?
Including their employees.
Yeah, on nothing.
Spoiler alert.
On employees, on services, on nothing.
We know that already.
Yeah,
it's sad.
RIP myself.
Yeah. I downloaded the Bone app so I could try to listen to SBK Live's new show, the Soul Brother Kevin show out there in Tampa that he does. I think 6 to 9 on 102.5. And man, it was such a pain in the ass to even listen to like the most recent episode. Mm-hmm. What a monstrous thing it is.
Thanks, Obama.
Yeah, thanks, Obama, for nothing. So people can just check out the new episodes of SBK Live wherever you listen to podcasts like iTunes. Apple Podcasts. Just like Casual Shadows available, I'm sure. Apple Podcasts,
we're on
Google
like
Podcasts.
Everything, really.
We're pretty much in everything. Yep. And then you're also doing Phyllis File. How long have you been doing Phyllis File now?
4 years this month, actually.
So it's pretty much the same amount of time as the Sunday Morning Coming Down. Yep. Was it all just around the same time? Well,
yeah, Sunday Morning Coming Down got brought back maybe like a month after I started on this file. So, yeah. And then I was like, hey, Jack, you need help with anything? He's like, sure, daddy-o. And I've been stuck getting up at 7:30 on Sunday mornings ever since.
There you go. That's what he got. You asked.
Yeah, damn it.
Yes, but Sunday Morning Coming Down is a cool show, though.
Yeah, it's fun.
Very chill, good music, and it is the perfect show to, if you're going to show up hungover.
Oh, yeah. That's I'm the only one in the building. I don't have to worry about it. Oh, very, so nice.
Yeah, that is actually very, very cool. That was my favorite part of doing SBK Live. When it's a nighttime show, so it was like no one there.
You don't
it was
have just to them. Look at the salespeople.
Just very, I didn't feel like I was an intruder. Like, they just welcomed me in. I didn't have to walk past anyone.
Oh, yeah, bro.
Except for, like, the janitorial staff. They're all very nice. I was like, hey, how's it going?
Yeah, they're nice people.
How's it going, Maria? How you doing? Of course it's Spanish, right? Right, Drew?
We've got a new staff now.
Oh, you got a new staff?
Well, there was the one staff, and there was one guy that liked to sell, like, he would buy a bunch of shit from China, like these Android mini PCs that you could plug into your TV with Kodi on them and whatnot.
Yeah.
So, whatever.
Yeah.
Allegedly. And he'd like to sell them to everyone in the building. That's not what he got in trouble for. He was stealing stuff off one of the promotion manager's desks, like tickets for stuff.
And oh my god, that's crazy.
She put a camera in her office and caught him, and they fired the whole cleaning company. The building management did. Then we got a new one that was pretty much all the same exact people with different t-shirts on.
Nice.
Typical LLC renaming.
That is genius. That's like, oh, the restaurant got shut down for health code violations. Oh, the Mediterranean. Now it's a new Mediterranean restaurant with a whole new name.
There's one downtown.
Same people.
Yeah, there is one downtown. It's the exact same people. Yeah, yeah, do not drink that soda. No. Unless you want the moldy bacteria in your Dr. Peepers.
Yeah, it's good times.
Man, I used to frequent that place all the time, too. It's bad.
I've seriously, never been. Yeah. I'm scared.
No, a lot. Bad, a lot.
Back in the day.
Yeah.
Back in the day. The one that had so many stomach issues. People, listen to the Casual Shadows.
Thank you.
Support the Pink Man.
Yeah. I need money, please.
And then if they follow you online, they can see then where you're bartending and stuff like that. Because you do that every now and then, right? And you can make some extra monies that way. Throw them an extra dollar just
bring
for
cash.
Being such a nice person. Yeah.
Cash only.
I mean, so cash speaks. Cash walks. Bullshit talks.
On a motherfucking tightrope.
Yeah, Drew. You know what that's all about. The doctor.
Yeah, a little bit.
The good doctor. You ready?
Ready.
You ready for this?
I'm ready.
You know what's next?
Nope.
You know what's up?
No idea.
Here's why. All right, let's do this one.
Whoa, this is heavy. There's that word again. Heavy. Why are things so heavy in the future? Is there a problem with the Earth's gravitational pull? What? Dude, we're totally gonna kill you now.
That's right, it's time for Billy D's Death at the Movies. Billy D is our New York City senior correspondent, horror film aficionado, and our best friend. And he hits us with an email almost every week, and Trusa Cogburn reads it just like a this.
What is up, my dudes? Moving is the worst. I'm trying to be as close to finished with it, minus some minor final touches this weekend. So close. I said Deadpool 2 on demand once I got internet. It was pretty good. If you really like Deadpool, you'll be into it.
Mm.
Back to work. Stay cool, Billy D.
Hey, all right, Bill. We appreciate it, buddy. That's for you. He's our homie. We love this guy. You can follow him on the interwebs at I Love Blood on Twitter and whatnot and Facebook. And oh, here we go. Choose the guy who versus the world. Choose the Cogburn versus the world. Choose the Cogburn versus the world. Josh, here we go. We do this every week. Choose the Cogburn versus the world. You represent the world. Choose the Cogburn represents Choose the Cogburn. Drew, you are 20-10.
I am.
You won in your last game?
Yes, I don't remember.
You did.
Two weeks ago. I'm good at stuff like this.
All right. Well, I hope you good at next week's game. In honor of the Pink Man.
Oh, boy.
This game is called And the Color Blind Shall See. I am going to describe a movie character. The movie character has a color in their name.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
So all your answers will have a color in it.
Oh, God.
Okay. You'll get it right away.
I'm going to be bad at this.
You'll get it right away. So, Drew, do you want Group A or Group B?
Yes.
All right. Group A it is. Number one. Disney princess and friend to dwarfs.
Snow White.
Okay. Good job.
Okay.
Number two, an intergalactic messenger of doom.
Silver Surfer.
That is correct.
Double nice.
Number three, Hank Azaria's character in Mystery Men.
Oh.
And I need a full name, not just a color, right? I need a full name.
Fuck.
You can't just
shit.
Guess a color. A full name as known in the movie.
Fuck. God damn it.
This guy's freaking out over here.
Well,
he's thinking.
Nothing.
I don't know.
The Blue Raja.
I never would have got that.
That's a tougher one. It's supposed to get harder as we go along. Number four, Willy Wonka Golden Ticket winner.
If there was a color, I knew.
Oh. I think Josh knows it.
Fucking hell.
I know it. Drew's thinking. Expelling air slowly. Tilting his head.
No, I don't know.
Josh?
Violet Beauregard.
That is correct.
There we go.
That's tough. You got to go through all of them.
I'm telling you, they get a little harder. Yes, and finally, number five, Drew. Beatrix Kiddo's alter ego.
No fucking
clue.
Oh,
bro.
Josh, do you know?
Oh, wait.
Of course he does, Mr. Fucking...
Wait, it's Black Mamba.
That is Black Mamba.
Yeah, because then What's-Her-Face was like, that should have been mine.
I should have been... A-Fox, I should have been motherfucking Black Mamba. Yeah. All right, Drew, 2 out of 5. So, Josh, you got to get 3 right to win.
Pretty bad.
Here we go.
Oh, God.
And just like Drew's, they go easy to hard. So, number one. I tried anyway. Number one. Hal Jordan's ring-bearing alter ego.
Not going to get that. Wait. Green Lantern.
That is correct.
Oh, man, it came to me right
as
I...
I was about to say, this is going to be a rough game for you, buddy.
Number two. Well, we'll see. Number two. Eric's dad on That 70s Show.
Red Foreman. Put my foot in your ass.
I think this one's over. Here we go. Number three. Harry Potter's godfather.
Sirius Black.
That is correct.
Oh,
number
yeah.
four. Editor-in-chief of The Daily Planet.
Daily Planet. Nope. If it were Daily Bugle, I had it.
Nope. Wrong one. No idea? Idea?
Nope.
No idea?
No, sir.
No, Drew? He's thinking hard. No,
why
Drew.
Can't I?
His name is played by Lawrence Fishburne in Man of Steel and Dawn vs. Superman, Justice of Ice, whatever it was called. Perry White.
No.
Perry
That's White. That's a stupid name. That's no J. Jonah Jameson.
No, J. Jonah Jameson is a fantastic name. Finally, number five, Quentin Tarantino's character in Reservoir Dogs.
Oh, God damn it! Which mister was he? See,
pink color!
Buscemi was pink. I'm just going to go ahead and guess Mr. White.
Mr. Brown.
Ah, whatever. Mr. Stupid Quentin Tarantino.
I'm going to put myself in my own movie.
Ooh, I think I'm Alfred Hitchcock over here. Well, congratulations, Josh. Well done. You win. Knocking Drusik Cogburn down to a record of 20 and 11.
Sorry, bro.
It's okay.
Oh, that's cool. I'm one of, like, few...
one of few, yeah.
...losses you have.
Exactly. No, that's a notch in your belt to dangle over him and the 20
I'll
people he has defeated. More than 20. How many people have you defeated over the years now? 20, 40, 60? Like, almost 100 people have fallen under your trivia sword.
I beat Curtis Earth once.
You beat Curtis Earth once.
Whoa.
But that was like...
But I beat Curtis Earth.
He is trivia.
That was
exactly.
like... Victory!
That's what I'm saying.
That's impressive.
I beat Curtis Earth once. Like, mm-hmm. It happened.
You also beat Simon once, and man...
I did. He will never forget that.
On, like, the smallest question, and Simon is like, oh! Simon, listen to Simon Time Trivia Show.
And I'm sure he brings it up every time, too.
He does bring it up. Every time Mad Max enters the discussion.
God damn it!
He's like, Fury Road! You a Mad Max Fury Road fan?
I've seen it, yes. I enjoyed it very much.
We got the knockoff Chinese poster right here. It looks cool from a distance, but if you get up and look at it, you see that's really fuzzy, and then it's like just some weird cloth paper
just
some dude printed out
around it.
Yeah it's kind of crazy. Billy D, we love you. Thank you so much for your email. Alright, let's do the segment of the people. It's time for the Vox Populi.
That moment you've all been waiting for, the world famous
Vox Populi.
Vox Populi.
Vox Populi.
Vox
Populi.
That's right. What you see, you let us know. You email us, cinemacrespediso@gmail.com, and we will read it on the show just like this. Drew.
Chris got an email from Ron.
What's up, Ron?
Hadouken!
Saw Darkest Mind. It's better than The Maze Runner. By a lot.
So wait, wait, The Darkest Mind?
The Darkest Minds.
Darkest Minds is better than
The Maze Runner.
Really?
Yes.
It doesn't look like that from the trailers.
So I super want a sequel. If you like the X-Men comic, you can like this. Maybe not the romance, Smaltz, but I dig it. The Spy Who Dumped Me was average and funny.
Oh, you also saw The Spy Who Dumped Me?
But the acting and chemistry of McKinnon and Kunis makes it worth a matinee or Redbox. Do well, guys.
Thanks. Thanks, Ron.
That was very sweet.
That was very nice. Mm-hmm. All right, what else we got?
I got an email from Scott.
What's up, Scott?
He saw 8th grade in Darkest Mind.
So we have two reviews of Darkest Mind as well as 8th grade. Okay, here we go.
8th grade. It's not a great movie, but what it is, a very, very, very wonderfully good movie.
Oh, okay.
This is exactly how I feel about Lady Bird last year, and much like Greta Gerwig, I think...
Weird. Look at that. Is that crazy?
It's like he was listening.
I think Bo Burnham hit the bullseye on every single one of his choices, from writing to casting to camera work to the weird loud score, creating this delightfully awkward little nugget of how much it sucks to be 13 years old. But I think I like this even more than I did Lady Bird. I think this film deserves all the accolades that Lady Bird got when the award season comes out.
Whoa.
Would love, love to see Burnham, Fisher, and Hamilton get nods. Every one of them was exceptional. The backyard fire pit scene, my god, that was what put this film over the top.
Yeah,
it was perfect. 3.5 stars.
That scene was the rug that tied the room together.
Yes.
Call Me By Your Name has a very similar scene where at the end, the father's talking to the son character kind of wraps up like the theme of the movie and like a really eloquent speech, and that's where the movie for me went from like 2 hours of kind of interesting but kind of boring to like, whoa, profundity. Oh, my weak heart. I can't take this anymore. I gotta leave. In tears. Man, yeah, that's a good review. He liked Ace Grade quite a bit. He mentioned the score. I forgot to mention that. There's some great music cues in 8th grade that are really, really funny.
Every
really...
time she sees that guy and the fucking dubstep comes in.
Yeah. Well, it's not dubstep, but it is like a monster. and then he looks up slowly and you see his eyes.
It's so weird.
It is very funny. I like it a lot. Really good musical choices in 8th grade for sure. Thanks, Scott. We appreciate it.
Buddy. And The Darkest Minds.
He also has a review of The Darkest Minds.
Yes.
So, Ron said this was better than Maze Runner. Have you even seen these trailers for Darkest Minds? It's like the most derivative.
It looks like X-Men knockoff.
It looks like X-Men meets Maze Runner meets Divergent meets like everything. All of them. All of them.
That sounds so terrible.
Like, it's like groups of kids are in prisons. No, they're split up by colors.
It reminds,
but they have different powers.
No, right?
It reminds me of Altered Carbon, but bad.
Yeah, bad.
Altered Carbon was like everything I love from every sci-fi thing ever. This is like all wrapped into one, and
pastiche,
it was great.
Pastiche, yeah. yes.
As opposed to, it just looks awful.
It's everything else.
Yeah.
But for someone, it's good. Maybe Scott loved it.
I don't know.
This here's Scott's review.
The Darkest Minds.
Here we go.
100 minutes of pure exposition.
Oh.
That's all this movie is.
That's not a bad thing, I guess.
Prologue. Nothing happens. It's just setting the stage for a movie franchise that probably won't happen when the box office receipts come up short.
Damn.
It was about 8 minutes from the closing credits when it finally dawned on me, oh, this is the end. Mm. They're just setting up future chapters. Mm. That big fight sequence you saw 10 minutes ago, that one that didn't resolve anything, that was the climax of this movie. I was very disappointed. The soundtrack is also ridiculous. This is a post-apocalyptic hellscape movie with a strangely high number of pop songs playing over many of its scenes. Didn't fit the tone, unless you're trying to sell a soundtrack to teenagers. And I don't care that greens are hyper smart. I don't care that blues are telekinetic. I don't care that golds have lightning. I do not care. I do care about what reds can do. I won't spoil, but it was the only thing about this movie that made me sit forward in my seat and say, damn, that was cool.
Hmm.
And oranges, the most powerful, they're just boring as fuck.
No.
I guess any young adult dystopian novel series gets greenlit in Hollywood nowadays, but that's definitely ain't the next Hunger Games. 1.5 stars. Take care, guys.
1.5 stars? I want to know what the reds do. What do the reds do?
Really good at blowjobs.
Yes.
That's amazing gotta be at blowjobs.
The superhero blowjobs. I can't imagine. Like a Wonder Woman blowjob. Or a Superman blowjob. He'd blow your dick off.
Straight up.
That'd be
easily.
Bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'd be like,
you know, somebody.
Like, no teeth, Superman. Somebody, no teeth.
I think somebody.
Do not even know how to do Kryptonian, so you know
I
how
think
to?
Somebody wrote an essay on having sex with Superman and how it would not be a good thing.
It's called Man of Steel, Woman of Tissue, and it's, yes, and it's about how Superman would blow a load through Lois Lane's, like come out her back.
Yeah. No, like, that makes sense. Like, they went into it, like, they actually thought about how it would work.
It's like several, it's like several chapters. Yeah, where I can dig it. Yeah, it's from the 70s. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Man of Steel. It's like anti-erotic fan fiction.
Yes. Exactly.
It's like, oh, this is what would really happen.
Yes.
It's not good. Poor Superman, he's gotta, like, go extra slow.
When and extra soft.
Extra, like, man, can it get softer? It can't.
I don't know.
I don't think so.
He's got a light microdose with Kryptonian beforehand.
Well, yeah, no, like, he's just weak enough. That's why him and Wonder Woman get it on.
Yeah.
Oh, that makes sense.
It's like the Luke Cage, Jessica Jones type of thing.
They have literally planet-shattering sex.
They gotta go to other planets, so, like, I guess this place will do.
Yep. There's no life here. There's no life. Okay, we got this.
Okay, we can.
Yeah.
We can have a romp.
Yep.
All right.
We are the show willing to talk about this thing. This is who we are. All right, let's wrap this thing up with the movie news.
Check out Justin Timberlake and Jessica Biel showing off their hot beach bods during their romantic Caribbean getaway.
Opens up about navigating the holidays with ex-wife Reese Witherspoon.
Leia is spilling the beans about a secret Star Wars affair. Apparently Han wasn't so solo after all.
He has been melting down. He's been berating fans, walking off stage. So what's going on with the beach?
That's right, time for the most important segment in all of podcasting, the Cinema Crespediso movie news segment. We are monitoring that Angelina Jolie, Brad Pitt custody battle divorce closely. But first, did you know if Ben Affleck and Jennifer Garner don't file their final divorce papers soon, the divorce will be canceled and it won't happen? Did you know that, Drew?
Do I care?
But first, we need a Bieber update. Josh, what's up with the Biebs?
I think he found Jesus and he's marrying Stephen Baldwin's daughter.
He did, yes. Oh, yeah.
Oh, nope. I have a more recent update, Chris.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Ooh, thank God.
He went to Canada for ice cream.
Oh, yeah. Alrighty. Yeah. Okay, then.
I have an even more recent update.
Oh.
He was seen paparazzi'd in New York City, him and Baldwin, Haley Baldwin.
Mm-hmm.
They were in Central Park. He was photographed, like, crying, like bawling in public. And she is sitting next to him, like, rubbing his back and, like, trying to console him. And then later that same day, they're photographed again at like a coffee shop or something. And this time she's crying and he's like consoling her. So they're walking around New York City just crying in public and consoling each other.
Someone smudged his puma.
Yeah, and then the paparazzi are filming her.
I thought she would have been tougher being the daughter of a lesser Baldwin.
I know, right?
A lesser Baldwin, but he's the Jesus Baldwin, though. And he's no Daniel Baldwin.
No one's Daniel.
And actually, we got what's his name? Not Daniel. Daniel's a fat one.
I feel like there's like
who's the
five
dumb ones. There are. Alec is a successful one. Mm-hmm. Steven is the one who almost made it.
Yeah,
but then he biodomed it. Yeah. Usual Suspects. Yeah. But then now he's a Christian.
Yeah, he biodomed it.
Daniel Baldwin's the fat one who was always fat, and his biggest credit was Homicide: Life on the Street.
Correct.
And then there's the dumb Baldwin who did Sliver.
William Baldwin.
William Baldwin.
The one who looks like Alec.
Well, he's one who looks like they took Alec out of the oven too early.
Yes.
Yes.
He really, good enough. He really does.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, he's a spitting image.
Yes.
He almost looks like Alec's son or something.
He does. He's like, oh, what if Alec stayed thin?
Yeah.
This is him. And he's terrible. It's crazy how Alec is great, and the rest of them are different stages of terrible.
So strange.
It's pretty wild.
It's like failed clones.
Yes.
Yeah.
Maybe they are.
Oh, God.
But then Alec, he was so thin. It was crazy if you watch Beetlejuice, and you're like, whoa!
Yeah, right?
And then watch
and him now.
He looks like he went back in time and ate himself.
Yeah. See him in Black Klansman.
In Black Klansman, yeah. See how he's white people. So yeah, they're walking around New York City crying and consoling each other. And yes, maybe he's having a crisis of faith. She's got to be a Christian. She doesn't have to be a Christian. Stephen Baldwin is an outspoken, born-again Christian, has been for a while, so... Maybe that's what brought them together. Maybe Jesus brought them together.
Oh, yeah, when
maybe she's Justin a Muslim. Found, maybe she converted to Islam.
Oh, God.
Oh, and that's why they're crying.
Justin's crying. He's like, oh,
he's like,
my
how
God.
Can you do this? No, it's so different. Your Judeo-Christian-based religion is so different from my Judeo-Christian.
I was about to say, we all agree that the Old Testament it's all the same scripture. Gross nonsense.
Have you guys seen Venom with eyes, with pupils?
Yes. Funniest thing I've seen in a long time, Chris.
I think I saw it.
Here's a quick Venom with pupils there.
All right.
Isn't it great?
It looks like toothless.
Yeah, he looks pretty ridiculous. So the Venom movie, Drew alluded to it earlier. It's being reported that they're doing some reshoots and some touching up to make the movie now as hard a PG-13 as possible.
Why couldn't they just do R?
That was the plan.
That was the original plan, which is why it has a $50 million budget, maybe a $40 million budget. It's a very low budget film. Mm-hmm. The plan was to make it hard R horror film. That's why it's come out in October. That was the plan from the beginning. They changed their mind or hit the brakes, alter course. No, we want to make this PG-13 like instead that. To try to make some monies. Now we're going to get the worst of both worlds.
They didn't learn their lesson with Deadpool.
Correct.
They made so much fucking money off that movie.
You thought they were learning their lesson when they greenlit a R-rated Venom movie to begin with.
And then they did Logan, too.
And then they did Logan. This actually was
which was fucking hot. That was probably the greatest X-Men movie ever made.
Why are they regressing?
Exactly. Why? What are they scared of? You know what it is? I bet you
James Gunn.
No, that'd be crazy. No, it is. You know, the Disney didn't consult Marvel on that one, apparently.
Yeah, yeah.
So now Marvel is actually lobbying with Disney to try to get James Gunn back in there. Because it's like, why'd you fire this dude? You're insane. We need
He's
to make
making
this work.
All the money.
Yeah. So now, speaking of, we were talking about the Happy Time. Was that off mic?
Yes,
that's an off mic conversation. We were talking about the Happy Time, Sesame Street, Civil War, hence
Civil War. Yeah.
Now there's a bit of one happening between Marvel and Disney, because Disney, they own Marvel and they own Lucasfilm, but they also let Kevin Feige just run Marvel.
Do what he wants.
And they let Kathleen Kennedy
Do
run Lucasfilm. As long as these movies keep making tons of money. Yep. But in this case, they stepped in with the whole James Gunn thing. And now Kevin Feige's like, what the hell? This could hypothetically lead to acrimony between Kevin Feige and Marvel and Disney, which could potentially lead to Kevin Feige leaving, which could open him up to being the next CEO of Netflix, whereas then, get this. I just shot my pen.
This
Get
is this.
You mean Marvel flicks?
No. This is no. Listen to this weird Ouroboros of incestual power dynamics. Kevin Feige leaves Marvel, goes and runs Netflix, right, and turns that shit show
let's say
around
that
because they're blowing so much money and so much bad shit.
Yeah.
Reed Hastings, CEO of Netflix, he's moving on to bigger, better things. Disney, CEO of Disney. By Bob Iger is going to be retiring in the next few years. So
Didn't he already try to retire? And they were like, no.
The board tried to keep him because they didn't have a good successor. Reed Hastings, rumored to be the possible successor. Because Netflix has become so huge in the last 15, 20 years. Maybe he's next in line to run Netflix. Run Disney.
It's a big bloated mess, though. I mean,
that's why you need Kevin Feige to come in and clean that shit up. And then Marvel Studios can get someone else to run that thing, and that can become a horrible, bloated mess. And finally, they can start shitting the bed. Because I don't see how they can make 20 movies in a row, and they all be various stages of good.
I know, it's really weird. It's really crazy.
Anyway, back to Venom. Sony can't make one movie good, let alone 20. Sony is terrible. They are bad.
They are really not good at this superhero
stuff. I would argue
stuff.
Their last good superhero movie was Spider-Man 2.
Yeah.
And Drew doesn't even like right?
Yeah, you're right. Which one was that? Well,
the one where Tobey Maguire cried.
It's
he cries an old.
I mean, it's all right. It's all right. I mean, I'm not the biggest fan of most of the Spider-Man movies.
Right, exactly.
I mean, at least the one with what's his face. At least they killed Gwen Stacy in that one.
Andrew Garfield.
Yeah.
Points.
Amazon points. Amazon. The Amazon Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Two.
Yes.
Amazon Spider-Man 2.
So points for them. They killed Gwen Stacy.
Which is funny. So Amazing Spider-Man 2 makes like both Amazing Spider-Man and Amazing Spider-Man 2 make like $750 million to $800 million worldwide. Everyone's like, oh, look at that. You're blowing it. You can't make $1 billion a Spider-Man movie. And then Sony Marvel makes Spider-Man Homecoming. That makes about $750, $800 million. You're like, see, when you give it to Marvel, good things happen.
They've been saving a lot of money.
People are so stupid. They're so incredibly dumb.
I mean, it's a better movie, but they made the same amount of money.
It's confirmation bias is what it is. So anyway, I was going to talk about this. MoviePass, as we now call it here.
RIP.
RIP. For sure, RIP. You know why? I tried using MoviePass on Friday to see 8th Grade. When I pulled up all the showtimes, I got to the theater, pulled up my showtimes. All the good showtimes, like between the hours of 6 and 9 p.m., blacked out.
Yeah.
I could see not all the movies are blacked out, but the good shows were. I could either see something early or something late.
Right.
So I couldn't use my movie pass because I had a window of time I wanted to see the movie. Yesterday I went to use it for Black Klinsman. The only movie I could see with my movie pass yesterday was Slender Man.
Lame. Ooh,
that was the only one available. Everything else was unavailable on movie pass, no matter what show times.
That's crazy.
So day to day. So if you were into gambling, get a movie pass,
yeah,
pay the $10 a month, and then show up to movie theater and see. Maybe you can see something. Maybe you can see something. Maybe not. If you're a gambler, it's a lot of fun. Otherwise, it is a pain in the ass bullshit raw deal.
Really was too good to be true.
Yep. Huh?
Yep. I got on it just in time to at just the right price point to see enough movies. I made my money back.
Mm-hmm.
I think I made like $20-$30 on this thing, but that's not a lot. The Black Hasselhoff, he's seen like 60 movies on that thing.
So good for him. He got his money's worth
for sure. But then he's part of the reason why.
Yeah, he's breaking it for everybody else.
You broke it. You broke it,
Dick
Davis. So movie pass, there you go. And yeah, that is your movie news, which means it is time for the lightning round.
Oh boy.
We give you the questions. You give us the answers. Time for the lightning round.
That is right, lightning round time. I have 10 questions. I need 10 answers. I need you to give them to me as quickly as you can. It's like a Rorschach test of the brain. Are you ready?
I hope so.
All right, Drew, start that clock.
Go.
Number one, why do people hate to see others succeed?
Because it feels bad when they don't succeed.
Number two, who appoints the gatekeepers?
The gatekeepers appoint them.
Number three, should we care who came first?
No.
Number four, snowboarding or waterboarding?
Snowboarding.
Number five, how does it feel to be in REM?
Very good.
Number six, bonjour or aloha?
Aloha.
Number seven, dessert for breakfast or breakfast for dessert?
Breakfast for dessert.
Number eight, have you ever seen the dragon?
Yes.
Number nine, are high heels a sign of the oppressive patriarchy or just good fashion sense?
Just good fashion sense.
And number 10, where are you softest?
My balls.
Right. Here's a guy, we're bringing out them swag bags.
Nice soft balls.
We got the blue polka dot, we got the purple polka dot. Which swag bag do you maybe want to go home with today?
Blue.
All right, Drew, break open that blue bag. Let's see what's inside.
I'm nervous.
Sir, you may get to go home with a 2-pack of punch balls.
Yes.
Speaking of soft balls.
Out.
Relieve some stress.
Also, a copy of Disney Pixar's The Good Dinosaur, Arlo's Journey, in book form. Nice. Actually, not just book form, children's book form.
Children's book form.
I think the entire book, maybe a whole 5 sentences.
It looks like a tough read.
You could read it in one shitting.
We have Cinema Crunch Video bootleg edition of Return of the Dragon.
Yes.
1 hour and 30 minutes.
That's the one with Bruce Lee fighting Chuck Norris in the Roman Coliseum.
Awesome. We've got some Play-Doh Grab and Go. It's 3 bright colors, and yes. I'm pretty sure it's still edible.
Still edible, non-toxic.
Yeah. Put some salt on
it. We got a bunch of stickers in there and shit.
And magnets.
Yeah, so all right.
So, Josh, you can take all that home. This bag can be yours. Dude. Or we take that bag, we put it away, and instead you take what we have in the box right over here!
What's in the box?
Oh, God.
What's in the fucking box?
That's right.
It's like Gwyneth Paltrow's head.
Maybe it could be.
One of these days.
It's not wet. So, that's a sign.
She's getting crazier by the second.
Check her Instagram, I think you'll see she's okay. So,
I think I might go with the box.
All right, I'll take that bag. I'm going to throw this in the garbage. You pop that top, reach inside, let everyone know what's in there.
Oh, my goodness. It is. Oh, cool. It's a Funko Pop vinyl figure of Coma Doof Warrior, otherwise known as the weird face guitar player from Mad Max Fury Road.
There we go. A Funko Pop.
Cool.
Target exclusive. Shout out to Target for sponsoring this episode of Cinema Crespity. So we appreciate that. Checks in the mail, Drew. Don't worry about it.
Thank you.
So there you go. That is your swaggery. We'll also make sure you go in with some magnets and stuff like that. We can raid some of these bags for a sticker or two. We can figure it out. Josh, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
We really appreciate it, man. That was a lot of fun. That was great. Drew, thank you.
Yeah, man.
Thank you everyone for downloading and listening. We appreciate it. Make sure to break up the big banks, be excellent to each other, read more books, free Mumia Abu-Jamal, and dismantle white supremacy. # cause a scene. We're out of here.
A PFT Media production.